Welcome to KUOI News. KUOI News is brought to you by student media and UI's editorially independent student newspaper, The Argonaut. KUOI News is committed to bringing you the most current news, sports, and entertainment information on the UI campus and the Mosca community.
Support for KUOI News comes from the American Humanist Association and the Palouse Coalition of Reason, made up of atheist, free thought, and humanist groups working together in the Pullman, Washington, and Moscow, Idaho area. For more information, please visit PalouseCOR.org.
Welcome to KUOI News for Monday, April 9th, 2012. I'm Dylan Brown. Upcoming on today's broadcast, Caitlin Krassel has a report on the opening of the United Mothering Alliance Center, a new resource for the women of the Palouse. Katie Sword has a look ahead at the Latah County Democratic Caucus on Saturday, April 14th. In sports today, Stefan Wiebe has a recap of this weekend's track and field action, and Charles Crowley has a look at the Vandal women's tennis team's defense of their home court in the victory this weekend over Weber State. From RAR, our weekly arts and entertainment insert, Danielle Yantis has your horoscopes for this upcoming week. And to come last on KUI News, the Supreme Court has authorized the near-universal right of law enforcement to strip search an arrested person. This has outraged many, who have said this will subject people to a humiliating violation of their Fourth Amendment rights. Katie Sword has her column on the court's controversial decision. But first, this news. Childbirth can be a daunting task for the prospective mother, but there is a new resource here on the Palouse to help women through the process. The United Mothering Alliance Center, or UMA Center, is dedicated to empowering women through this life-changing journey. Caitlin Krassel has a preview.
Educating young people about alternative forms of childbirth, providing access to community resources, and empowering women to be in control of the childbirth process are the goals of the recently opened United Mothering Alliance, UMA Center, according to Tara Hoger, the director of the new center. Hoger said the center looks for ways to support mother and child during childbirth rather than looking at the process as a medical procedure. She said a lot of fear is created around childbirth in our culture, but it doesn't have to be that way. The UMA Center is a nonprofit organization that is affiliated with Birth Network National, an organization that is concerned with providing information about mother-friendly childcare. Hoger said they want to promote a message that there are many ways a woman can give birth, and each of them comes with its own set of risks and benefits. The University of Idaho Women's Center has shown support for the UMA Center as a community resource. Heather Gasser, director of the Women's Center, said the UMA Center's approach to childbirth is holistic and mother-centered. She said it's a resource center, an education center, and a place for women to support each other and share that empowerment. Gasser said Western models of childbirth have not always empowered women to make decisions in the best interest of their bodies, but rather in the best interest of the medical provider. The UMA Center will sponsor a lecture series beginning May 3rd that will take place on the first Thursday of every month at Book People. Hoger said the lectures will cover women and family health issues. The UMA Center is also sponsoring a showing of the film More Business of Being Born at the Kenworthy Performing Arts Center April 17th at 6:30 p.m. Tickets for the film must be purchased in advance online at www.umacenter.com. The film will be followed by a panel discussion with physicians, midwives, and representatives from Gritman Medical Center and Pullman Regional Hospital. Hoger said the UMA Center is not only a source of childbirth information, but also a resource and support system for families as well as women. The UMA Center celebrated its grand opening on March 31st and is located at 110 South Jackson in Moscow. For more information about the UMA Center, visit www.umacenter.com. For KUOI News, I'm Caitlin Krasselt.
Over much of the past year, the GOP presidential primaries have dominated most of the media coverage, while the Democrats already have their candidate. But that doesn't mean the party is static. Latah County Democrats will be participating in their own caucus this Saturday, April 14th, looking to gauge the mood of the party heading into November. Katie Sword has more on the caucus.
There may be only one official presidential candidate for the Democratic Party, but the caucus still takes place. Caucus Chairman Jim Miller said the choices are basically between Obama and uncommitted. The caucus will take place April 14th at the McDonald Elementary School. Doors will open at 9 a.m., with the event starting at 10 a.m. Miller said that unlike the Republican caucus, theirs is open to anybody. You don't have to declare a party affiliation, but you can have voted in the Republican caucus and then vote there. Miller said the caucus will also determine who will represent Latah County at the state convention in June. Our county has 15 delegates sent to the state convention, Miller said. We determine the percent of delegates based on the percent of people's pledges. The process of selecting delegates is determined by a plan written by each state's Democratic Party. Once county delegates are selected, each state is allotted their number of delegates to the national convention based on population and the party's voting strength, according to the Idaho Democratic Party. Miller said delegates are chosen based on the percentage of votes they received during the caucus, but said even if someone interested was unable to attend the caucus, they could still run to be a delegate as long as they register before the event. Miller said participants, even if they're not running to be a delegate, need to be registered voters in Latah County. But for new voters, a registration table will be set up before the event so they can participate. Miller said they only expect about 200 participants because the candidate is an incumbent. It's not a big choice this year, Miller said. We are planning for 200, but there could be 50 or there could be 1,000. We don't know. For more information or to get involved, contact the Latah County Democrats at 208-882-6600. For KUI News, I'm Katie Sword. I'm going away.
That a first taste of Hollis Brown, the featured artist today on KUI News. Their new release is titled Nothing and the Famous No One. That track was called Gypsy Black Cat. First up in sports, what was good for the Vandals was just prolonging the torture for Weber State. The Idaho women's tennis team shut out the Wildcats in last week's match in Moscow, and Weber State is still without a win on the season. Charles Crowley has more on the Vandal victory.
The Weber State Wildcats had been shut out 7 times this season, and Friday, the Vandals increased that number to 8. The Vandals won all 3 doubles matches to win the doubles point, and then won all of their singles matches in 2 straight sets. Pollock said that Weber State's 0-18 record, as bad as it is, doesn't do them justice. He said the Wildcats hit the ball really well and have some solid players. He said he just doesn't know why the Wildcats can't get over the hump with some of the lower teams, but Idaho was definitely the better of the 2 teams. Sophomore Vicky Lozano, Idaho's number 1 spot, said that it's just bad luck that the Wildcats haven't won any matches, because they are a really good team. Senior and team captain Molly Knox said Pollock told the Vandals before the match that the Wildcats can hit the ball well, so not to go out and pretend they aren't playing a top team. Pollock told the Vandals to come out and start strong. First on the agenda was doubles, and judging by the 8-0 score, it appears Knox and her partner Sophie Vickers took Pollock's advice. This match was set to be Idaho's first match in Moscow, but Mother Nature wouldn't allow, and the match was moved to LCSC. Outdoor tennis in Moscow would have been great, but this wasn't a deal-breaker for the Vandals, because they like the facility in Lewiston. Pollock said the facility is fantastic, the courts are beautiful, and it is perfect conditions. There was an average crowd at the match, and the Vandals had a few supporters show up. Whether it was the facility, or it was just Idaho's day, the Wildcats are still winless, and the Vandals have now won 4 in a row. Pollock refuses to see it as a streak, though, and says he will just take it one match at a time. Pollock doesn't think the women are getting ahead of themselves. They know these upcoming matches this week are going to be tough, and they have to practice hard and be ready to go Friday. Weather permitting, the Vandals will finally get to play in Moscow next weekend when they face Nevada on Friday and Oregon on Saturday. Knox said the Vandals are excited to play in Moscow, but also excited to face 2 teams none of them have faced before. For KUOI News, I'm Charles Crowley.
The University of Idaho track and field team was split between 2 venues this past weekend, but got much the same performance in both meets. With a recap of the Stanford Invitational and the War 5 meet in Spokane, Stefan Wiebe has this report.
After splitting up for the 2nd consecutive week, the Vandal track and field team put out great times and marks in both the Stanford Invitational in California and the War 5 in Spokane, Washington over the weekend. The majority of the team competed in the War 5 hosted by the Community College of Spokane. On the men's side, senior Andrew Blauser won the 110-meter hurdles by nearly half a second with his time of 14.48 seconds. In the 400 meters, freshman Ben Ayesuata and sophomore Andrew Bloom finished at the top for the 2nd consecutive meet. The teammates tied for first in 48.39 seconds. The Vandals also took the top 2 spots in the pole vault, with freshman Matt Sullivan winning the event with a vault of 15 feet and 11 inches. Sophomore Dylan Watts finished with the same height but took 2nd based on the number of total attempts. In the pits, junior Jason Lawrence won the long jump with 23 feet and 0.5 inches, while senior Rendell Jones took 1st in the triple jump with a leap of 47 feet and 7 inches. Sophomore Andre Lefkiv won the shot put for the Vandals with a toss of 54 feet and 1.75 inches. Fellow sophomore Kyle Rothwell won the hammer throw with a 186 feet and 6-inch mark, nearly 15 feet further than the next competitor. Sophomore Mike Marshall won the javelin with a 207 foot and 5-inch toss to make it 3 throwing victories for the Idaho sophomores. The Vandal throwers also did well on the women's side. Freshman Johanna Hockenstaller took 1st in the shot put with 45 feet and 5.25 inches and 2nd in the discus with 151 feet and 6 inches. Junior Christine Leonard took 1st in the discus with 153 feet and 4 inches, and senior Gabby Midlis and junior Sarah Nutch dominated the hammer throw with tosses of 180 feet and 10 inches and 167 feet and 7 inches. The next best competitor at 158 feet and 2 inches. The few Vandals that competed in the prestigious Stanford Invitational over the weekend put out great performances, competing against some of the nation's best athletes. Senior Erica Digby ran a 4 minute and 22.18 second time in the 3rd section of the women's 1500 meters to place 3rd. It was a 13-second personal record for the 5th-year senior. Sophomore Hannah Kaiser finished in 4 minutes and 27.46 seconds in Section 2 of the event to put her number 2 in the WAC behind Digby. Phipps said the two girls had great times despite battling illness leading up to the meet. Junior Liga Velvier, Idaho's highest individual finisher at Stanford, took 7th in the women's 400-meter hurdles with a time of 1 minute and 1.21 seconds. For KUI News, I'm Stefan Wiebe.
Nothing and the famous No One, the title track from the debut album of today's featured artist on KUI News, Hollis Brown. What lies ahead for you as the weather warms and finals loom on the horizon? Well, Daniel Yantis has the horoscopes, sure to predict your destiny.
Libra, when wandering in life around aimlessly, when looking down doesn't work, look up. Capricorn, when life gives you peanut butter, give it some jelly and have a jam. Gemini, someone may be trying to twirl your world around, so crank up the music and start dancing. Scorpio, the secret to life is a good recipe with good ingredients. Use them well. Sagittarius, if my calculations are correct, parking in an unmarked area after having a few drinks could cause unwanted citations. Aries, when writing your next term paper, consider eating alphabet soup, and then your words will come out naturally. Aquarius, don't sweat the petty things and don't pet someone's sweaty thing. Virgo, worried about deadlines? I hear the library is quite morbid. That might help get you out of your grave situation. Pisces, taking shortcuts in life is like having a peeing section in a pool. It's worthless because you'll end up swimming in your own mess anyway. Cancer, ever feel out of your mind? Try using a strainer to filter out the unnecessary thoughts. Taurus, student loans getting you down? Try seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. It's better than working a minimum wage job for the rest of your life. Leo, in need of some change? I hear panhandling works great.
The privacy rights of the arrested took a hit last week as the Supreme Court handed down a decision giving police and other law enforcement the right to strip search anyone detained, regardless of the charge against them. Katie Sword, in today's opinion column, explains why the court's decision won't help stop the flow of contraband into the prison system.
Anyone detained for minor offenses could be the next Timothy McVeigh, the Oklahoma City bomber. According to Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy, Kennedy claims anyone arrested should be subject to a strip search because even minor offenders can be the most devious and dangerous criminals. Justice Stephen Breyer, who opposed the recent ruling by the Supreme Court in favor of strip searches at law enforcement officials' discretion, said such minor offenses include driving without a headlight out, walking a dog without a leash, and riding a bike without a bell. This means anyone who gets in trouble with the law for even the simplest violation could wind up naked in a room with strangers as they probe every orifice for what probably is not there. This also leaves the decision to perform an invasive and humiliating strip search entirely up to the jailer. The ruling requires no form of review for guards' decisions, essentially giving them a green light, as George Washington University law professor Orrin Kerr said, to violate anyone they please. This has created a slippery slope. What started as a more reasonable form of searching, selective application based on detainees' motive to hide items within their crevices, has become pervasive and an outright violation of privacy. Kennedy claimed this ruling is designed to prevent new inmates from bringing in contraband or weapons while they are detained, but especially pertaining to minor offenses, this thought process does not hold up. Someone arrested for an inoperable headlight would not have expected to be arrested, and therefore is unlikely to have contraband or weapons stashed within their body cavities. Most people do not drive around ready to smuggle contraband into jail. The logic of the justices who voted in favor of this ruling is flawed. Officials state they are in no position to question guards' judgment, but our legislative system is based on checks and balances. Whatever the reason is, it cannot justify this violation of privacy, individual rights, and Americans' personal bubbles. For KUI News, I'm Katie Sword. We'll be right back.
That's one last track from today's featured artist on KUI News, Hollis Brown. That one called Ride on the Train. You can check out Hollis Brown at hollisbrown.com. That's going to do it for KUI News for Monday, April 9th, 2012. You can find all the news from the University of Idaho's own student newspaper, The Argonaut, at uiargonaut.com. Also, you can check out all of student media's outlets on Facebook, including The Argonaut, Blot Magazine, RAR, and The Photo Bureau. Also, tune in tomorrow for KUI Sports Talk Show 4th and Downtown with Argonaut Sports Editor Nick Groff. He will fill you in on everything going on in the world of Vandal athletics and have interviews with all your favorite Vandal stars and coaches. But if you want up-to-the-minute scores, highlights, and press conferences, go online to vandalnation.wordpress.com. Thank you for listening to KUI News. I'm Dylan Brown. Have a great start to your week.
Thanks for listening to KUOI News. KUOI News is brought to you by student media in conjunction with UI's Argonaut. For more information about news on this program, navigate to KUOI.org or UIArgonaut.com. If you'd like to submit a story to KUOI News, feel free to email us at KUOI@UIdaho.edu or arg-radio@UIdaho.edu. KUOI News is underwritten by UI's own student magazine, Blot. Blot is on stands twice a semester on UI's campus and throughout the Moscow community. For more information about Blot, navigate blot.uidaho.edu. And remember, KUOI News is committed to bringing you the most current news, sports, opinions, and entertainment information within the Moscow community, the country, and the world.
Support for KUOI News comes from the American Humanist Association and the Palouse Coalition of Reason, made up of atheist, freethought, and humanist groups working together in the Pullman, Washington, and Moscow, Idaho area. For more information, please visit palousecor.org.